Today is for joy because Christmas is near. Do you know what that means? Do you have it quite clear?
Of course, it just means that we're smiling and happy and playing and singing and dancing and clappy. It really is easy. It's really a cinch. And if you don't get it, you're likely a Grinch.
So that is the answer. So that's how it's done. Is it really as simple as just having fun?
You sound kind of doubtful. Do you think there's more? Do you think there's something else Christmas is for?
I think fun is great, but I think joy is deeper. Like fun comes and goes, but joy is a keeper. I think joy's a mystery, richer by far, and it all has to do with a stall and a star. I think that at Christmas, it's there in the air and spreads from the manger to shine everywhere. I don't understand it, I just know it's there.
I know you are right if I just stop and think. Joy is the mystery, and love is the link. So let's light a candle for love and for joy, so we will remember the birth of a boy.
Well, here we are on the third week of Advent, celebrating joy. Who doesn't smile to see the enthusiasm of the young ones when they're here in church or out in the neighborhoods or at school? Who doesn't smile because we're alive? Because we can see and hear and use our senses in so many ways to feel God's presence around us. The mood of Christmas is hustle and bustle, and I guess I don't have to tell you people that. Oh my goodness, from cookie walk on, it's been busy. And sometimes we're experiencing difficulties at this time, and it seems that we can't enter into the joy of Christmas as fully as we might. To be honest, I think that to be human and probably of any age is to sometimes feel sadness, to sometimes feel alone, to sometimes feel a loss very deeply. Things affect us, and sometimes these feelings come when we're reminded of what's going on in other places in our lives or those of a family member. A neighbor, a friend here from church. And I think of people who are homeless, and what must this season be like for them, wondering where they're going to be sleeping and eating? What's it like for people who have to drive a distance or who just can't get to see their friends and family at Christmas? I think of the millions who are in refugee camps. I attended a meeting this week. It's an interfaith meeting, and there doesn't happen to be a United Church representative on the committee at this point. And there are Sikhs, and there are Buddhists, and there are Seventh-day Adventists, and there are Muslims. Shiite Muslim leads the group, and last time we met in the Sunni mosque. That wouldn't happen in many places around the world. And we were talking about the idea of when does a visitor become family? And how do we treat visitors differently than we treat family? And that was a very interesting discussion because everybody started from their own scripture readings, and some of them go back 3,000 years, but it was really nice to sit and share and just think about that for a while. Do you treat somebody from your family differently than you would treat a neighbor if they were staying over for a while? What makes us part of the Canadian family, and how do we show that? Those are the kinds of questions, and knowing that many of the people who come to this land are grateful to be in a safe place, but it's not home. So during my lifetime, I decided that I would save myself a lot of trouble and a lot of pain, and I would just block my heart off. So I just blocked my heart off, and I smiled a lot, and I sometimes cried without knowing why I was crying. Nothing got in past a certain part of my heart, so I didn't feel sadness. I didn't know I was very sad. And so I really didn't get 100% out of life for a few years while I was doing that. And I finally discovered that it takes courage to open one's heart and to keep one's heart open when you're going through really tough times, you personally or those around you. And I finally realized that it really isn't healthy to live with a frozen heart. Something like the Grinch story, I guess. My heart was too small. And because it was frozen. And then one day I realized that I wasn't feeling love or joy or any of those positive emotions deeply because I wasn't feeling the ones that I called negative, and they're not, like sadness and loneliness and grief. I wasn't feeling those either. So this morning we're inviting you to enter into a time of reflection with your rock, your stone, your piece of beach glass, whatever. And enter into it as much as you'd like to or as little as you feel comfortable doing. We're not asking you to bury your souls. We're asking you to reflect during this time of worship. Because God knows every feeling there ever has been in anyone, and they're all fine. Just to see if we come out in a little different place come Christmas. I was talking about God knowing feelings, and I admire the psalmists, because when you open the book to the book of Psalms, there are so many emotions that are portrayed. The heights of gratitude and joy, and the depths of despair and loneliness. And they were courageous folk, I believe, who called out to God in many different ways. And they asked those universal questions that we're still asking today. So we're going to listen to some of their reflections, their concerns in their time, which would have been about 3,000 years ago or so. And I'd like us first to listen to Psalm 22, verses 1 to 2. Teresa is going to read it from today's International Version, and then I'm going to read it from the Message.
In Psalm 22, verses 1 to 2, someone calls out to God in anguish, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, but I find no rest.
God, God, my God, why did you dump me? Miles from nowhere, doubled up with pain. I call to God all day long, no answer, nothing. I keep at it all night, tossing and turning.
The words of that psalm were written close to 3,000 years ago, and yet they still speak to us today. They are the words that are recorded as ones Jesus spoke when he was, in fact, on the cross. Both the writer of the psalm and Jesus knew what it was to reach such a point of pain and despair that it feels as if God truly has deserted you.
We all carry burdens. But at some times in our lives, those burdens grow so heavy that we wonder, how can we continue? The loss of a loved one, the end of a relationship, unexpected changes in employment, longing for companionship, loss of health, loss of home. All of these and many, many other situations can cause us pain and despair. At times, we feel perhaps as though we're living under a cloud. While we can manage from day to day and even find moments of enjoyment, underneath it all, we feel the weight of our burden. And at Christmas time, these burdens can feel even heavier. On top of everything else, we feel the stress of holiday preparations and the pressure to be happy. I invite you now to take your rock and to have a look at your rock, feel your rock, And think about whatever burden you are carrying, whatever loss or pain or worry is weighing you down. If you're angry at God, let yourself feel it. The Bible is full of examples of people crying out to God in anger, frustration, pain, wondering why life has to be this way. There are no easy answers, but the first step of the process of healing is acknowledging that there is pain. The first step in letting go of a burden is recognizing that you're carrying a burden. As we take time to be silent, Allison will lead us in with some reflective music, and let yourself feel what might be burdening you down this season.
In Psalm 62, verses 5 through 7, someone reflects on God's presence. Reading from today's New International Version, "Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from God. Truly, God is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God, my mighty rock, my refuge."
Reading the same passage from the Message. "God, the one and only, I'll wait. Everything I hope for comes from God, so why not? God's solid rock under my feet, breathing room for my soul, an impregnable castle. I'm set for life. My help and my glory are in God. Granite safe and safe harbor, God."
The writers of the Psalms knew what it was to feel overwhelmed, to feel pain, to feel anger, to feel loss. They were constantly crying out to God, asking, "Why? Why is my life like this? Why aren't you doing something about the mess I'm in? Why do I deserve this? And where are you?"
And yet those same writers are also capable of creating beautiful images of God's strength, God's support. One of their favorites was the image of God as our rock. It's an understanding of God that has many different aspects. Feel the rock in your hand. Feel how solid it is. When you hold onto a rock, you know that it will not crumble or bend. When you stand on rock, you know that you are rooted to the earth, that it is a foundation you can count on. Rocks endure all sorts of weather. Rain, snow, and wind can touch the surface, but not the depths. Do you remember having ever been in an area of Canada during the winter when there are some beautiful examples of the majesty of rock? In the darkness of days, when sunlight is waning and darkness is long, just seeing the glowing light of the sunset reflected on the mountaintops is enough to open our hearts and let our spirits rise again and help us to believe in the power of light again. Rock is also a safe place, a place to hide away when the troubles of the world seem to be too much. God, as our rock, protects us and even comforts us, giving us the strength to face the world again. As you hold your rock, think of an aspect of God as rock that you are in need of now. Solidity, strength, beauty, comfort, protection. Let the rock become a symbol to you of where you need God's presence most in your life during this season. Listen as the choir shares of God in the darkness.
In the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, Jesus asks questions and offers peace. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Reading from the Message. Are you tired, worn out, burdened? Come to me, Jesus says. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly.
Jesus understood what it is to carry a burden. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he knows that death is near, he prays, "If it is possible, let this cup pass from my lips." When he says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest," he knows what it is to be weighed down and in need of rest. Yet sometimes it can be difficult to let go of the burdens we carry. They've become such a part of us, we wonder if we will be the same person without them. If we let go of mourning someone we've lost, does that mean we no longer care? If we let go of grieving the end of a relationship, is that admission of failure? If we let go of anger over a hurt that was done to us, are we saying that it wasn't such a big deal after all?
Letting go doesn't mean tossing our burden into the garbage as if it's of no importance. Letting go essentially means placing it in the Creator's hands. Many different thoughts can accompany this action. Sometimes we let go with our senses. I can't deal with this on my own anymore, God. I need you to carry it for me. The burden is still there, but it becomes lighter because the load is shared. Other times we let go that we are knowing that we are ready for healing, that we are ready to let healing take place in our lives. Letting go doesn't mean that we're erasing a part of our life from our heart or our soul. It's simply the first step in letting it become a part of the past, perhaps treasured, perhaps still slightly painful. But either way, it no longer weighs us down every day. Once we let go, we feel more able to see how this burden may actually have helped us to grow. At this time, we are going to have some movement. We are going to invite you to come through this door or down the side aisle or this side aisle. Teresa's going to light a candle on the three tables that are out in the hallway where most of you picked up your stones. If you feel that this is a time to let go of whatever burden is represented by this stone, leave it there with the other stones. Don't take it home with you. If you feel that you aren't ready to let go, that's okay too. Slip it under your purse or your pocket and take it home with you and reflect on things a little more during the next few days. We also have candles on the tables, the three tables, and I would like us to line up at a table. There will be a person at your table who will give you a match, and you can light it from the light of the candles here this morning. And as you're lighting one of these candles, you may say aloud or to yourself, "Today I'm thinking about this. Today I let go of this. Today I want to find more joy while I go through this period of time." Whatever you want to say, whatever's in your heart, it's yours. Take your time. We can have three people lighting candles at the same time. So if you want to stand by a candle for a minute or two, that's okay, while others are quicker. Let us open our hearts in new ways as we pray the closing prayer together. God of comfort and hope, Christmas can be such a hurried time, A time of unrelenting good cheer and activity, and yet it is also a time when we feel losses even more deeply. Many emotions that are not supposed to be a part of this season seem closer to the service at this time. Pain, grief, loneliness, and loss. We know that you understand all of these complex feelings, that you can share them with us and lead us through them. Be with each one of us. May we feel your presence of love. May you comfort us and let us see the light of new hope. We thank you for this quiet time of reflection and ask for your healing and blessing upon us. We pray in Jesus' name, who brings us new life. Amen.